Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 251. It's July 5th, 6th, 2020. Hey, what are you doing? You're wrestling with a controller there. What's that? Tell me that. Tell me about that.
Hey, you know, I finally did it. We talk about it all the time. It's like, everybody assumes I have a Switch Pro controller.
Yeah.
Just assume it. They said, Brian's got one of those. No, I didn't. Yeah. Until this past week.
Oh, what to what?
GameStop. GameStop first. Last week, we had a rough ride, me and GameStop.
Yeah.
Started off with me trying to purchase a thing. That purchasing failing. And then me losing $60 worth of gift cards.
Oh, geez, Louises.
And then me not getting very good response from GameStop.
Yeah.
And then eventually, finally getting some answers. And everything is all good now. They gave me a good deal on this Pro controller.
Nice. Okay, tell me the kind of deal. What deal? Tell me the price. What kind of a deal?
Oh, well, let's see. It was a regular price, but I already had a $50 card for the thing.
Okay.
And so, but then they gave me $10. Just because to come back. They're like, hey, Brian, come back. I'm like, I don't know.
All right, so $10 is like, it's like you got a $10 discount on the
program. Yeah, $10 discount. And then plus I had my $5 points that were expiring that day. And between that and my Father's Day gift, I got a $50 gift card for GameStop.
Oh, very nice. Yeah.
Yeah, so it all added up quite nicely to me walking out the door with this in my hands for free.
That's awesome. Well done. Good job.
This Pro feels controller. So good, but I haven't done any research on it. Can I play this on all my other consoles with this? Can I do all kinds of fancies? Can I play it on my Mac?
No.
And my
PC? Yes. You can do Mac and PC. No problem. You can't put it on your PlayStation, though. So don't be getting excited about that. I'm 100% sure on that. I mean, you could try, but it ain't going to work. You could
try. You know what's pointless? A Pro controller and a Switch Lite.
No, it's not. No, think of it this way. You got your little stand for your Switch Lite, right? That one you bought. If you're just like, man, I just want to set this here and sit back and play like this. Now you can.
No. Because let me tell you something about the Switch Lite. It's kind of a piece of crap.
I love my Lite. What are you talking about?
I gave my Lite away.
Oh, what?
I gave it away.
To who?
I gave it away. My Animal Crossing island and all. I was trying to find Ethan, who asked me ever so nicely. Whoa.
Sorry, keep going.
My son Ethan asked me ever so nicely, Father, I sure wish I had a Switch. I'm like, I wish you had a Switch too, son.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, let me see what I can do. I'll see what I can do. So I looked around, couldn't find a Switch. It was actually part of that whole GameStop fiasco because they had a Switch Lite and I could order it. And I actually was trying to order it and some things went bad.
Yeah.
And but then I couldn't find it anywhere, which is, you know, that's just what's going on right now.
That's
you can't
what's
find Switches anywhere.
Yeah, they're hard to get.
And so finally I realized, I'm like, after looking and anguishing over it, I'm like, Brian, when's the last time you even picked up your Switch Lite? And I'm like, it's been 3 weeks.
Really?
Weeks. And I have a regular Switch. I like it better most times.
Do you know how many weeds you got growing out in your island? It's bad if you've gone 3 weeks without touching that thing.
I know, that's what I mean. So I'm like, oh come on, man, just give yourself. Oh my God, I'm hoarding electronics, denying my son gaming when I could just do it. I had Pokemon Shield, which I played for a minute and then just like. I wouldn't say rage quit.
That wasn't your thing. Yeah,
just said quit.
Yeah,
but he was so excited about it. So I gave him that as the game. Stoop. He's finished it. He's finished the game in like 4 days.
Good Lord. I mean, look,
I made the right decision.
You probably did, but here's the thing. I have both Switches as well, and for obvious work reasons, I have a Lite now in addition to the other one. My other one is now gathering copious amounts of dust because I prefer playing on, I prefer portable, and that thing's just so easy to take anywhere and it's got longer battery life and I just like it. So that's where I spend all my time. However, that being said, if Nintendo could make it easier for me to share my account across two Switches, I would go back and forth more often.
Right.
But it's a pain the way they do that.
This, I'll tell you this too. If you're just playing the Switch Lite by yourself, you'll never think much about it. But when we was playing Animal Crossing, we often played in the same room. Always has the Switch console, and I have the Switch Lite.
I get you.
And every time she would turn the screen to show me something, I'm like, holy crap, her graphics look like 10 times better than mine. The deep, rich colors and everything else. And mine just looks all washed out. And is her screen like 3 inches larger than mine? I don't know. It looks like it is, but it's not.
It's not nearly that. And it's not as.
It's not, but it looks it.
It if you're not used to it, you're like, oh, yeah, right. The original Switch is a lot bigger. Oh, that screen's bigger.
Oh, it looks so much better. Yeah, so much heavier. But man, it looks good.
Yeah, but
it
you get those drifty good. Little Joy-Cons. You get all drifty in there, all up in there.
Hey, did you ever try that DriftCon? We got a suggestion from, I can't remember who told us now. Several people have.
A whole bunch of people did, yeah. I didn't do it,
one individual though. Told me on Twitter, and I immediately went and tried it, shove a Q-tip down in there with some drying compound, like alcohol.
Yeah.
And get in there and jiggle it around, and I was able to get rid of my drift.
That's all you have to do?
Yeah, I mean, you just got to get underneath that little lip, get a little bit of contact cleaner in there. Now, ideally, if you had like one of the contact cleaners, you could just spray down there. Now, I was lucky enough this worked for me. I'm not saying it's going to work for everybody, but
right.
I was able to do it and drift gone.
Drift gone. No Joy-Con, drift gone. All right. Mm-hmm. Well done. More on that as we move forward in our lives. Switch Lite forever. Okay, now this. I really do like it. All right. I'm going to show everybody what I've been playing here. You're going to laugh at me, maybe. I don't know if you'll laugh at me or not.
I'm going to. They're all going to laugh at you. Wait, I almost got this game. Oh, I almost played this one, too.
Okay, well, I'm a huge fan of the Mr. Driller series. Loved the old ones. Played the crap out of it. The GameCube game in particular that came out in 2002 was really, really great. And this is that, basically. They've just, ported it to the Switch. Updated. They also, this did not come to America before. This was only Japanese, so you could play it, but you kind of, didn't get any of the dialogue or none of that stuff made sense. So this is now a localized version. It's got all the translation and everything, although the voice acting, where there is any voice acting, is still all Japanese, which is fine. You get subtitles now, so that's cool. This game is one of my favorite puzzlers, even though I don't know why I like it so much, because it's kind of frustrating. Unlike Tetris, it's hard to zen out to, kind of. It just, maybe you get into a rhythm, I suppose. But for the most part, I feel like I'm getting worked kind of hard in it.
I'm watching you right now. Was this you playing?
No, it's somebody else. I don't know who this is.
Whoever I'm watching right now, you're right. I could see where it would have trouble with flow, because you're having to stop, recalculate, and then go again.
Yeah.
And that would mess with my flow. Like Tetris, it flows. I mean, there's no stopping. Occasionally there'll be a stopping, but for the most part, it just goes.
Yeah, you just go. Well, let me give you the brief descriptor on this. It's a 2002 video game developed and published in Japan by Namco for the GameCube originally. It's the fifth entry in the Mr. Driller video game series and the second developed by Nintendo's, for Nintendo's platform following Mr. Driller A. This game,
Mr. Driller A.
This game is called.
Was that the title?
Yeah, Mr. Driller, drill you right in the A is what it says.
Driller A.
This is called Mr. Driller Drill Land, and it's a dumb name. It doesn't matter though, because you're having.
Actually,
you're
I having like fun. That name. This that what's. I think me and you differ greatly on what we think is a dumb name. I think that's what's fun about it.
I think it's a very dumb name. I think Mr. Driller.
I think I know exactly what I'm getting when I see that title.
Drill Land.
I'm like. I know exactly what I'm getting.
Pretty silly. But anyway, it's you do know what you're getting, right? And also, there's a ton of different kind of levels. There's like this overworld where you can choose the kind of game type you want to play, and they all play a little bit differently. Sometimes you got to dig down and find oxygen. Other times you're just trying to fill up your meter. I forgot what that. The one they're on right here on this video, the candy one, I forget what you're filling up on.
Well, I was going to say, what exactly are you collecting here? Is it like marshmallows with cream on top?
In this case, this one's all like themed like cakes and candy and stuff. There are others
Australian
that aren't like that.
Cakes? Are these like tasty cakes?
They look like them. I'd eat that. I wouldn't. I'm not supposed to eat sugar right now. But anyway, there's other stuff. Like there's one that's kind of Indiana Jones levels where it's all like dirt and sand and everything. Dirt. And you're trying to, dirt.
Dirt on it.
It's just fun. I'm a fan. It's $29 bucks. It's a good deal.
But what's going on in Sydney over there with the boxing? Is that like Are you like, we got like two games going on here where you're destroying things and also activating fighting in the upper right hand corner with the kangaroo?
No,
and
that stuff's happening completely independent of me. I have no control of that. Yeah, all of that stuff is just pure flavor, I guess. Right. Look at it now. We're in Brazil or somewhere, India, something like that. And look at those people just
dancing. Yeah, it's India. Around. You talk about these people all the time. We had like a whole big discussion about people with plates, right? Or yep. the place. Now, no, it's a bunch of different places.
Now it's all, yeah, now yet. There's an Eskimo. That's international. Inuit. International. There's a, what is that? That looked like Bomberman. I don't know what that was. Anyway, it's all real stupid looking.
You're at the Epcot center of this game is where you're at right now.
Kind of. Yeah, kind of. Yeah,
you're going to stop in and get you some sausages.
Weirdly, it is. It's just fun. There's not tons more to say about it, except it's a good time. If you like a dumb puzzler and you just want to get sucked up into it and play it for a long time, I think Mr. Driller is one of the greats. I feel this way about Tetris and a few other games, but mostly this one.
Mr. Driller is who develops Mr. Driller?
Namco of Japan.
So it's still Namco. It's still in their wheelhouse.
Still okay. Namco. You're originators of such hits as Pac-Man and other games.
Other games that went on to world renowned. As a matter of fact, that was the Pac-Man font over there on that world introduction thing there.
It was.
So how much is that and where can I find it? I saw it on the Switch, I believe.
Yep. Only there. Like I shouldn't say that. Like it's not dollars. Only there. It's on Switch. It's on PlayStation 4. It's on Xbox One and it's on Steam. It's also on the Switch. That's where I got it because puzzle games are best in handheld mode. Who's playing that on their PC? I don't know. But it's there. It's the price. Same price everywhere.
I got one word for you.
Go.
Peggle.
Peggle. Oh, I like Peggle. Peggle's great. But Peggle.
That's what you're playing.
Peggle is not a. Peggle is not a great puzzle game because Peggle relies on randomness, right?
Yes.
It's luck.
Right.
And it's still great. Don't get me wrong. I like Peggle a lot. And games that are based on Peggle, even more. But. I can't
name
call
a
it
game a, based on Peggle.
I can't.
Poggle.
No, there's a really good one called.
I know what you're talking about. There was one recently we just played. It was, we both got a code for it.
Peggle-like games. Hold on, I'm going to find it.
Oh, what was it? I've forgotten completely. We both had codes for it, and it's on Steam.
It's on Steam. It's also on Apple Arcade, and I forgot the name of the damn thing.
Yeah, it's a little bit different theme.
Round Guard. That's it.
Round Guard. That's it. Yeah. Round Guard.
It's a fantasy-based thing, or you're shooting your warrior out there. It's pretty good. Yeah,
shoot,
I recommend
your warrior
it.
Out there. Put that warrior back in your pants, sir.
Brian, tell me, if you will, about your time in The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening for the Switch.
I will tell you about my time with The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening. Mm-hmm. This will be the second time I have played a Zelda game to any effect. This is me playing on screen, by the way. I mean, I didn't draw all these pictures and stuff.
No.
Coming up soon, it will be my gameplay, which you will see.
Hold on a second. Let me ask you a question. This is your second ever Zelda game ever. You never played Ocarina of Time. You never played any of that stuff.
So I've played Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
I played one and two, I believe.
Yeah.
Now, when I say play, I literally mean, like, I hopped in and went, oh, this is stupid. And I just left pretty much. I mean, I didn't do much. Ocarina of Time, I played a little bit. I might have played a couple of hours of it. And I didn't complete it by any means. Also, Breath of the Wild, I got into that. And I think the Breath of the Wild was what kind of made me think, okay, I need to go back a little further. Mm. And then I got Link's Awakening earlier this year because it came out in end of 2019.
Yeah.
And the remake did.
Yeah.
You may remember the Link's Awakening for the old DX, but this is the Link's Awakening on the Switch.
Wait. I thought it was a DX. I thought it was a Game Boy game in the original.
Was it a Game Boy game? Wait a minute. I thought it was a DX.
Hold on.
Maybe it was also a DX game. Maybe it was both.
Awakening. Yeah, Game Boy.
Okay.
Anywho. I think. Yeah, here it is. Link's Awakening. 1993 action.
I didn't go to trust Tondagosa.
Action adventure game developed and published by Nintendo for the Game Boy and Game Boy Color. There you go.
Anyway, I didn't play that one. That one was crap. I played this one. This is like a remake.
Okay. I did too. I played the same game, by the way. It's great.
Right. Yeah. Did you finish this one?
No, my daughter stole it from me before I could beat it.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah. I'm really enjoying it. I'm playing it on Thursday nights, every Thursday night, since I prepared myself to play this game by spending close to 3 or 4 months every Thursday playing A Link to the Past, which this is the sequel to somewhat. After you leave A Link to the Past, you end up in the ocean and getting lost, and you land on this island, Kohelenia.
Hold on. What is the Nintendo DX? What is that you're even talking about? I'm looking for this thing.
The DX. It wasn't that the Japanese version that was the next step or something?
I don't know. I can't find anything.
I'm trying to remember.
Nintendo DX.
It's not the DS, because people always think that's what I'm talking about.
You're talking about the DS. So there's the light. Okay, it was the DS, the DS Lite, and then there was the DS. What was the one that had the shop for the first time?
That was the I.
DSi, right. So what the hell's the DX? I don't know. Okay, anyway, it doesn't matter. So
maybe
go ahead.
I read it wrong. I thought that, no team for DX for Nintendo Switch.
Maybe I read it wrong.
Maybe I read that wrong.
Okay, they're saying Link's Awakening DX, which was on the Game Boy Color. That was called the DX. That was called Link's Awakening DX. All right,
that's
all clear.
That's probably where I got confused.
We're all clear now.
That's where I got confused. I thought the DX was to indicate the machine for which it was running upon. Yeah. Incorrect, Brian.
DX going to give it to you.
DX going to give it to you. Here I am now is Link. I'm talking to Marin and her father, Mario.
This game doesn't take itself too seriously. It's like
it
a lot
does
of,
not. No. This is very chibi kind of, you know, very very kid character esque. It's mostly primarily a top down kind of game. It is, as you would expect, a Zelda like. It is a Zelda game. It's exactly what you expect. And I'll tell you, when I first played this back in January, I believe it was, I stunk at it. I didn't understand anything. I felt like I was running around in circles after my heavy training with A Link to the Past. I'm killing it. Yeah. This game is so much easier. Matter of fact, it's so much easier. I was a little disappointed in some of the parts, especially like the boss battles and things, because like in the A Link to the Past, I was spending like, you know, an hour trying to beat a boss, and I can pretty much do it consistently in about 15 minutes.
Well, this game is definitely an older, you know, crappy Game Boy D-pad, two buttons, like it was meant to be a simpler experience.
Right.
A lot of people think it's the greatest Zelda game ever made. I'm not sure I agree with
I've
them.
Really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I like it too, but I'm not sure I agree. I think my favorite is the, not Link Before Time, that's the one you just beat.
Right.
The DS, or the 3DS game, Link, Link in Time.
Ocarina?
Link in Time? Somebody linked it in
Link's
Time.
Lost in Time.
Lost in Time. What's it called?
Link in Time.
Link Between Worlds. That's it.
Oh, yeah. Link Between Worlds. I haven't played that either. That's into my...
That's my sneaky favorite. I love that game.
Okay, so I'm going to try to play as many... I'm going to stream on Thursdays as often as I can of Zelda games until I want to throw up. But I've been trying to find ones that I'm able to stream. There's one on the Wii U. There's one... Anything on the DS is going to be impossible. It's not impossible. I guess more like it's improbable, because they're really hard to stream because you have to have the built-in capture card or you have to capture it with a camera and the screen. That's trash. I'm not doing
that. Yeah, ain't nobody wanted to do that. Are you kidding me?
I ain't doing that.
Jeez.
And then I could emulate it, but I try to avoid doing the emulation if I can, because I just don't want to have to deal with all the ROMs and trying to get the ROMs and all the dirtinesses and that. So forget that crap.
Yeah, forget it.
But, Link's Awakening, I've been having a lot of fun. I feel like I'm moving along pretty quickly. I've got Bow Wow. He's the chain chomp.
Tell me more.
And did you make it to the Bow Wow?
I did. Yes. There's a lot of Mario imagery in this game, and the chain chomp
much.
Is one of those, yeah.
Even all the way down to sometimes you'll enter a dungeon, and in those dungeon areas, you'll have a side platformer, so it'll instantly go to that.
Right, or you'll have a warp pipe.
Warp pipe, but I'm not able to access any of the warp pipes. I don't know if you've tried. I've jumped on a few and tried to squat down, and just nothing happens. Just Link making funny faces, going
trouble with your warp pipe. I understand. It's okay. Nothing to be embarrassed about. Don't be embarrassed.
Well, if you've never played a Link game, it's very the skill tree is based on the items you pick up as you go along. So, I mean, as you loot and gather things, you become stronger and stronger. And there's a little bit of open worldness the link, you can accidentally go to the wrong area and find yourself in a lot of trouble because you have not unlocked certain things. The game does a pretty good job of locking you into the areas you cannot, you know, keep you out of the areas that you're going to die quickly.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
And they do that by like power gloves. So like you can't lift things until you get the power gloves, and then you can lift things and move on. But sometimes you can get in there another way, and then you're like, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm dead.
This is what I call Zelda bullshit.
You call it Zelda bullshit? Yeah. Well, you know what? A lot of games do it. I'll tell you who does it the worst. You mean to tell you who's the worst at it? World of Warcraft. Oh. How many times I found myself just platting along like, everybody's got skulls for heads.
Yeah. No, I get
you. Turn around, Brian.
Yeah, turn it around. Go back the other way.
Turn it around.
Yep. It's a little easier now in that game because they've scaled a bunch of the content. But yeah, back in the day, you might wander from a level 20 to a level 60 zone and go, oh, whoops.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of fun for a little while. And then I would get really mad because I'd get lost and get turned around. And be like, I just want to just get to a place where it's safe. Mm-hmm. I've totally lost my quest. I don't know what I'm doing anymore. None of these quests make sense. Where am I even at?
Yeah,
I never felt like that in Link.
Did you see these this tree with the apples on it in Link's Awakening? Did you want to go shake it and like go sell those to a couple of raccoons?
I did. I thought about it. I actually did go up to it and I tried to swipe it a couple of times with my sword.
It didn't happen.
Right. You see Link giving himself some constipation right there?
Yeah, I saw that.
Trying to pull those bushes.
He's like,
can you hear any of that audio? Is that audio available?
Hold on. I'll play it.
This has got a great soundtrack. Some great music. Listen how fun that is.
I love the visuals too. It just looks great.
Oh, the visuals great, and it's got like that that hazing effect on the outside of the screen, so it looks like
It's cool. It's very cool. It's the kind of game that, well, it's why my daughter stole it, but it's the kind of thing you just want to mess with and get in and play and look at
it's
you.
It's a fairly short game, all things considered. I believe you can finish it in around 16 hours. I picked this up for full price. Grezzo is the developer, is currently on the Switch. I went ahead and bought the nasty tasting chip so I could put it in my mouth
into the
console.
Did you do that? Did you try to taste it? I've done that, you know.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, you got to make sure it's not black market.
Yeah, you got.
I mean,
yeah,
if it tastes like strawberries, you got the wrong thing.
If it tastes sweet, then Nintendo didn't make that thing. But if you guys haven't done this at home, some people probably, I mean, I'm sure there's someone who hasn't heard of this. But if you lick a Nintendo cartridge or a third-party game on the Switch, you'll be revolted because they made them so little babies, if they tasted them, they would just automatically just go and spit it out. That's why they taste like they taste. That's the whole reason.
Is that what the babies do there, Scott?
Yeah, they go blah.
That's
what they do.
Some of my favorite things in Link's Awakening so far has been, first of all, the wind fish who sits high above the whole island up in like in this area in an egg. And I'm like, wind fish? Yeah. You got to collect instruments, musical instruments, to go wake up the wind fish so that you can escape this island.
Escape? And I'm like, I like that.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, so that's what I got to do. I got to get out of here. So so far I've collected about 4 of the musical instruments, and each one of them has been fantastically weird.
Yeah, it's a little weird. It's a good game, though. I really like it. I'm glad you're playing it. How much more you got? You haven't beat it, right? Or no?
No, I haven't beat it. I'm probably about a third of the way in. I still get a little frustrated. I'm starting to get out of a little bit, but early game is a lot of do-it-for-me quest.
Mm.
You know, it's like, do it for me. I'm like, oh, I don't want to do it. Go get your own stupid cans. I don't want a stupid can. I want to go fight something. Yeah. Give me my sword, man. I want got my shield. Come on, let's go.
Yeah, who wants cans?
Nobody wants cans. Apparently, that guy down there wants the cans. Yeah. He's bringing the cans, and he's like, he's an alligator of some sort. And he's like, thanks for the cans.
Yeah, thanks for the cans.
Then he eats them.
Yep.
And then you're like, well, what was the point behind that?
That's how he does.
Most stress-inducing thing in this whole game. They got a little mini game in here. It's called the Claw Machine. Did you get to the Claw Machine?
Yeah. It's too much. Too much RNG. Too much luck involved.
Too much. Not even say luck. I've done pretty good in there, and it's one of those machines where it's like, you know, you have some claw machines where it's like you have 30 seconds to move in any direction you want to get to the point that you want to be, and then you can just choose to drop your claw.
Yeah.
No, this is more like the one where when you move forward, You got a couple of directions. You can move forward, and if you let go of that button, it stops there. No more moving forward. And then you go to the right, and once you stop, that's it. So it's like, ooh, that's too much pressure.
Yeah.
But I did win a Yoshi doll. Oh. I had a fetch quest for a Yoshi doll.
Well done.
Got that.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Did you see Kirby yet? Because Kirby's in there somewhere.
I haven't seen Kirby. I have ran across Terran, who is one of the first characters you meet.
Mm-hmm.
And that little jerk water is taking some kind of drugs. And he's up in the forest up there. You're like, you're walking past him.
I love the
like,
term jerk water. We need to use it more often. It's a great term.
Yeah, you're like, you're walking by him and you're like, oh, it's a little bunny guy. And you're like, okay. And so you talk to him, then you try to pass by him and he like teleports you somewhere else. And like, son of a
Yeah, it sounds like
And
that.
So you come to find out it's Terran. He's been tearing into something. Mm. And now he's a magic bunny. Mm. Then you try to go back and chew him and you in, but he's in bed asleep and he won't talk to you. I don't know what his deal is, but he's starting to make me mad. Oh, the other guy, too. There's another interesting guy. He's the phone guy. Have you met the phone guy?
Probably. I don't remember.
Yeah, the phone guy.
I don't remember.
There's like trees with phones in them, and you can get some advice.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, you can get some advice. But then if you go to the man's house, he won't talk to you in his house.
Yeah, of course not, because he's an a-hole.
No. But the one thing that really stood
You know what
out,
he's like? He's like trolls on the internet. He won't talk to you unless you're yelling at him on 4chan or something. That's how that works.
Right. Yeah.
If you go to his house, Link's he just clams right up. All right, go ahead. Sorry.
2019 Link's Awakening. The other thing that really is fantastic is you get to make your own dungeons. So as you go along, you'll do a dungeon, and each one of those dungeons has different rooms in it. And they'll save that into like a little library. And then later on, when you get to the right place, you can make your own based on some very specific rules.
I heard that was poo, though, not well implemented, is what I heard.
It is not well implemented. It is all right. It could be something so much better, like a Mario Maker. It could be, it's just like more like a mini game.
That's what people want. They want a Mario Maker dungeon, or they want a dungeon maker and like Mario Maker with that kind of control and level of detail and, you know, parts and pieces and all that. That would be huge. I don't know if they'll ever do it, but it'd be rad.
Well, I think this was just a little test.
Yeah.
I like the test. Well, I'll take it back. I kind of like the test, but it gets kind of complicated because you have to take certain things in consideration. If you have an upstairs, downstairs type of situation where you have stairs, you have to make sure that you have an even number. So they go
always.
Places, of course.
Right.
And then you got to have so many keys in the dungeon. And based on the rooms you get, it will determine whether or not there will be a key in it or not. And where you place the keys at can also affect the outcome.
Hmm.
If you set in 5 keys in the dungeon, whatever key is the last one accessed by the individual is the master key, the boss key, and then they can go on and battle the boss. So it's some interesting stuff. I just don't, it falls a little short, but it's still fun.
Yeah. The main game's great, though, so check it out. That's Link's Awakening, available now on the Switch.
On the Switch for a cheap price of $59.99 and sometimes at Walmart for $49.99.
Full price video game right there.
Yeah.
All right.
You're paying the full money for that one.
That's right, son. Okay, check this out. I played a game and I really liked it. And I'm so excited to talk about it because it's so my jam. Sort of
Those
thing.
Are my favorite intros. Yeah. I played this game.
Really it's really it. Good. All right, next game. It's
no,
called Curse of the Gods. Curse of the Dead Gods. I apologize. Curse of the Dead Gods. Now, you may be looking at this chat room and anyone else watching the video archive and going, that looks like Diablo to me. No, not really.
How is that guy running like that? I mean, he has like got some serious like forward momentum on his.
Oh, he is all about torso. He's all about let's go forward, never go back. That guy, he's serious about life and liberty.
That's weird.
You can see right now he's opening a great big gate for the first time, and this thing is about to go nutsoid. It's super pretty. All right, so if you took Diablo and you took the just sort of top-down look of Diablo and the kind of dungeon crawly-ness of Diablo, and then you mixed in with that, you can see the map now. This little map here that's showing up is very much like a roguelike slash like Slay the Spire, sort of pick your path kind of roguelike, and it's always different, always random. So roguelike elements, that's in here. You know I love those. And then the art style is like a weird... It's like Darkest Dungeon and that Hades game had a baby, is what this art style reminds me of. It's colorful, but also kind of dark and twisted and kind of eldritchy and stuff.
I do like the style, though. I'm really digging it.
The lighting is really cool. When you're not holding your torch, you can't see as well, so you want to try to light these braziers.
Wait, I have a torch for you.
Yep, basically. If you don't do that, then you have less light. But anyway, you have a bunch of weapons. Different weapons
wait,
fall.
Wait.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why was that dude slapping around a torch when he had like a gun?
He has a gun. He'll keep using it. He turns his torch off. It's just when he's running and not fighting something, he'll use his torch.
Keeps him back, right? Keeps him at bay.
Yeah. So he beats this guy. Out comes the torch again. Oh no, he's going to beat another guy. So anyway, there's a strategy to this because you want to try to, you know, how you want to be able to see who you're fighting, and so lighting a brazier before or whatever you call him, brazier. Before you fight is good because then that thing is on and you can see what's going on. You can also just sort of see anyway. It just gets dark and it's very moody, very dark. You're getting cursed down here. So every floor that you ascend, you get more cursed, and eventually that's bad, to get so cursed. But lots of random stuff happens, like, ooh, I found a sword that's super rad. My other one sucks, so I'm going to swap it out for that. Or I found a better gun, or I found a better giant flaming hammer, or whatever weapons are. Gold is dropping all the time. That gold can be used during the fight to buy certain things and upgrades. Or when you're back in town, you can purchase, there's another currency. It's basically a little blue skulls of creatures you've killed, and you can spend those on like ability upgrades and talents and that stuff.
Sad.
What's sad?
You collecting all those blue skulls in like a bag, and then you come back to town. It's like, I'd like to get that rubber spider ring for 10 blue skulls, please.
Well, you do that. I wish it was like you talk to a dude, but really you just use an altar, and the altar gives
you. There you go, an altar.
It imbues you with like a blessing. Is the thing I just purchased, which gave me.
What's the blessing sound like?
It's not like spoken or anything. It's just like you say, "All right, I'll buy this," and it goes schling and gives you a thing, and then you go back in and fight again. That's if you die
like
and go
swing.
Back.
I don't think that's a very.
You don't
good
want to swing, okay? For, this person who's playing is dumb because he's supposed to go talk to the thing in the middle and he's not doing it.
I love how Scott never vets any of the videos he plays.
I sometimes
this. That's
do.
One thing we need to probably focus on, maybe.
Maybe all I know is this guy's just not. He's not paying attention. He's go up good. To the thing. Go talk to the thing. There you go, bud. All right, he finally did it. Anyway, so you can see here he's getting a weapon upgrade. So he's like, all right, well, what do I want? Do I want this kind of weapon? I want a range weapon. Do I want a fist weapon? Like. You can make these different choices. If you don't have enough gold, you can pay for it in blood.
Ooh, your blood or somebody else's blood?
Your blood. And
you get a cookie and some juice?
No, you get none of that. You just lose some life, but you're able to get the thing you want if you don't have enough gold. If you have enough gold, you don't have to spend your blood on it. Eventually, you're trying to balance, like keep yourself alive, but have less of this curse problem going on. There's a healing thing, but when you heal, it gives you more curse. So there's ups
and
downs to all
that.
So
what about this speaks to Scott that other survival games do not?
Well, this isn't really a survival game, but I know what you're saying.
Right.
It, for me, it's the look.
I love that hammer.
Yeah, it's cool. It's the look and the feel and the roguelikiness. Those three things combined are really working for me.
Right.
And I think this is going to be something special. It's currently in early access, so not fully baked. Feels real polished already to me, though. I'll say this. There are a lot of these sorts of games on the market, but this has a special edge of like, it's really hard. I died a lot. The creatures are really hard to predict what their patterns are going to be. So you have to fight really smart. So there's a lot of that stuff going on where you just have to be a better player and, you know, get better at the game. It's not going to hold your hand. It's definitely going to be a more difficult experience than the average roguelike, but it has all the elements I like, but mainly it's the tone, the look, the feel. It just feels great, and that's
it looks
fun. Big,
I
that's
love
a big
that
part
hammer,
for me.
But I want everything to be destructible.
Yeah, and a lot of things are not everything, but you can break up a lot of crap. And like this room he's in right now has got a lot of traps and stuff in it. You can also do traps. Like you can. I haven't gotten any yet. Oh, look at that! You just broke through a wall. I take it back. Apparently, it's a secret room. I've not done this before. That's rad. Look at all that gold it's gonna get. Oh yeah. So there's a just a real dungeon plunger kind of vibe to it, which I don't. I wish more games had. You know, I want to.
I want to play Dungeon Plunger.
Dungeon
That's not
Plunger
the name of this game,
is a good name. Why doesn't
I
want to
play Dungeon Plunger?
Hold on, there's got someone has that name, right? Hold
I
on.
Mean, come on, if you can't you can't catch the low hanging fruit of Mario in a dungeon. I mean, come on.
Oh, there is plunger. This bunch of people use this.
Oh yeah.
There's something called there's a physical thing called a dungeon plunger, and it's a cutter where you cut foam pieces to make a D&D dungeon for your D&D games. That's a great name for a video game. Right. Anyway,
Curse of the Dead Gods.
Yeah, Curse of the Dead Gods, available now. Oh, I forgot to grab the price. Shoot. I want to say it's currently on
$14.99.
On sale though. It's on sale for like 10.
$24.99.
There it is. $10. Available now.
$10
on the during the summer sale. It's on sale.
Early access. $10.
Yeah, worth it. 100% worth it. And they seem to be pretty active devs and are talking to their fans. And it's just it's a rad piece of work. I'm really excited about it. So go check it out. Curse of the Dead Gods, available on Steam early access right now. A quick mention.
Go ahead. Life?
What did you did you did with the what with
did,
the who and the when?
Do the guys come back to life? The gods?
No. Well, I don't know. Life? Maybe I haven't got that far. They might well do. They might well could.
Do you like yeah?
They
you
might
like break some like what do you,
legs?
Yeah,
bread. Like what do you break? What
you have to break some pork carcasses? You have kind of like
some what carcasses? What'd you call them?
Horcruxes.
Yes, I have to break some horcruxes to find the gods.
There you go. Yeah.
This would be a great Switch game, chat room. I agree. This would be a very good... it probably is headed there, so I wouldn't be surprised. Once they get this thing out of early access, I'm sure it'll head there. But it's pretty cool. Oh, and a fan recommended it. I wish I had his name handy, but he sent me this email and said, dude, have you seen this? I'm like, no, I have not. And then I went and got it because it is my kind of thing. All
and
right.
Now if you run into him again,
yeah,
you can say... Yes, I do.
Yes, I do. Brian, tell me about Disintegration. Not the effect of something disintegrating, but the video game that you played.
Disintegration! I got this from Private Division. The publisher sent me a game code for review for the V1 interactive game Disintegration. It is a strategy first-person shooter type game, as we all know. Or everywhere out there. But what you play is you're a grav cyclist and you must command your small troop of ragtag other guys like you try to bring some wealth to your community. This is a future in which we are now brain mechs. We've taken our brains and we've put them in mechs. That's
okay.
Right.
Okay.
They're mostly a robots, but I guess you could call them a mech. It looks like a mech.
You're inside of a mech.
Well, so I'm in a grav cycle. Right now, what you're looking at right now is me in the grav cycle. Grav cycle is pretty cool.
Okay.
Now, the grav cycle allows you to kind of, you don't really stay on the ground in the grav cycle, and this intentional, because what you're doing is you're kind of above in a kind of like a god area where you can like command your troops to do certain things. So usually you have like a four-party group, two warriors and a striker, and you will command them to focus fire or focus attention on certain objects as you go through the game to complete task. And this game right now is owning me because it is a game that you're instantly fascinated with the idea. It's like, can I really manage all of these things, flying a grav cycle and commanding troops to do things? And it is just right on the verge of feeling impossible. And then they've made it in a way that it becomes possible. Mm. And sometimes you feel like a badass, and sometimes you feel like a dumbass. But sometimes,
Do you ever feel like a bad dumbass?
Sometimes that too.
Okay. Right.
But the grav cycle was pretty cool because, like I said, it is basically a way to allow you to kind of just hover over the battlefield, make some decisions. Right here, I was testing out what they said to see if it was a lie or not. It said if you got your grav cycle outside the area of a platform, that you would fall. Mm. They weren't kidding.
And they did. Yeah, that makes
sense. It's kind of like the hoverboard in Back to the Future, right?
Yeah, you gotta have a ground to be gravity averse to. If you don't have anything between you and the rest of infinity, you're just gonna fall. That makes sense.
Right. This game starts off with, you know, the dystopian future. It's like, there's disease and things are bad. And so people decide to put their brains into more durable robot bodies. And
yeah.
Some of this has caused sports to appear. And so this sports that one, your primary character that you're playing is, he was a cyclist. He was a racer, a grav cycle racer. And he got in some trouble and he was basically locked up into a sky prison. And then he escaped out with some ragtag people who also were there for various other things. And they plunged to the Earth or the planet, and they met up with the Wagoneer, who is teaching them the ways of how to survive by collecting scrap and pushing back the bad guys, claiming your territory.
I get it. You're hovering in this grab thing and you're saying to your units, hey, go do this, go do that, go fight this. Okay.
They kind of operate on their own, but like, let's say that guy right there. Okay. Say that robot character, let's say he is an elite droid.
Yeah.
Well, the elite droids can do things that other ones can't. So you have to determine, it's like, oh, do I need to target this guy and kill him first? Or do I need to target some of these lower guys? And that's kind of stuff you have to make on the fly. Really quick. And by the way, they'll usually be sending in more troops. And
are you getting shot at while this is happening? Is people shooting at your grav cycle while you're leading this on?
Yeah, people are shooting at people. They'll be shooting at me, and different opponents that you come against, they'll have different weapons, and some of those weapons are shooting at you directly.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of got a weakness to certain characters in the story. And also what you're seeing right now is each one of your characters has a second fire mode. And it's usually like throwing concussion grenades. And there's one with your striker. He sends out like a barrage of missiles from the sky. And it just comes flying down. Also, by the way, if your guys or if they get hurt bad enough, they will expel their head where their brain is. And you have to fly your grav cycle down close enough and collect the head and pull back a little bit. And then they can regroup and they can fall back into battle. Of course, if any of your team is down for too long, then you fail the mission. See, I just picked up a head right there on that unit. And,
weird.
And and they'll just pop back up. So as the grav cyclist, I got a couple of things going on. I'm pretty good at being that long-range fighter. I'm also the medic, and I'm basically calling all the action on the battlefield. Disintegration. I've really been enjoying it. Like I said, I did get a developer code for it, so to play around and see what I think. And so far, I'm loving it. I am loving it. It is at $49.99 on Steam last time I looked, and it just came out on June 15th, 2020. And it is. I've played this game probably more just than about anything that I've played in the last 3 weeks.
Wow.
I keep going back in. The one you watched was actually one of the first videos I did, and I have some much better videos I've uploaded to YouTube of doing some really cool stuff.
My favorite part of the first of this video was how long you spent in the menu at the beginning.
It is insane because you think it's the weakness of this game.
Yeah.
The weakness of this game is not the gameplay.
Yeah.
The gameplay is great. The dialogue, I enjoy it. The voice acting, the VO is fun, it's good. I like everything. I love the designs of the bots and even the costuming. Everything is just so good. The maps are laid out well, but there's not, it pretends like you're going to have all these customizations and you don't. Mm. So yeah, I keep going in and going, okay, I'm just going to go in here. I'm going to customize this. And I'm like, it's not really customizing. It's more like you make a change and then a randomization happens and something else changes. And so I'd like to see them be more granular with that. I think they've got a great IP here that can just keep going. If it gets the people it needs, because I did try to play the multiplayer a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm just in the wrong region, but the matchmaking was taking a good bit of time.
It's not a full release yet, is it? I don't think
it is. Right, it's not. And so I've mostly spent time in the campaign, which is fine because I've been enjoying it. It is difficult. It gets really hard really quick. I would almost say this game is an easy game to pick up and then a really hard game to master. But even doing the basic stuff, trying to learn how to fly the grav cycle and managing people that alone took me like an hour just to get to the place where I'm like, okay, I'm getting it.
That sounds like real life, trying to manage this, the people.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's a little ding too, because I hope they can, that from what I've seen, they're still working on it. I would like to see a little smarter AI from my cohorts, because they, for the most part, they fight on their own. They just take priority orders from me. Yeah. And even those can be overridden sometimes. And a lot of times they will get in a place where these overpowered freaking bad guys, and they'll they'll drop landmines in a circle. Yeah. And if my characters get too close to them, those landmines will fly up and blow up a bunch of stuff, and I'll kill them almost every time. Mm. And they'll just stand there.
Yeah.
And I'll be going, over here, get over here.
Like the song,
and they'll just stand there.
Over here.
Yeah. Over and then here. And then they die. And I'm like, I'm very disappointed. But I don't think I'm the only one complaining about that. So maybe we'll see some progress on that part of it. But yeah, I'm enjoying it.
All right. Well, there it is. Enjoying it. Quick mention. By the way, the games we play are always in our show notes. So if anyone out there is listening is like, oh man, I don't remember that thing 3 weeks ago or whatever, all that stuff's over at frogpants.com/boop. You can find all our show notes there for every episode we do. All right. Real quick, just a tiny mention. I am doing a full replay of Titanfall 2's campaign, although apparently I wasn't nearly as far into that PlayStation version as I thought I was. Now I'm playing the PC version, which I picked up for $10 on sale during the Steam sale.
Oh, crazy.
And it's amazing. I love that campaign, and I'm loving it. So if you want to watch me do that, I stream it kind of at random times, but it's all going up on YouTube at frogpants.com/YouTube.com/ScottJohnson. That's where my YouTube channel is. So go check it out. It's also stuff. I also stream it here. Well, I stream it here and then I put it over there. So you can probably catch the
one day.
Wait,
you know what, man? What? We need to coordinate our efforts, man. Because like on Wednesday nights, I've been streaming lately and they're like, oh, I couldn't decide whether I want to watch Core or you. We got to get together, man. We got to figure that out.
Yeah, well, I mean, Core's on Wednesdays. So you get the hell out
of
here.
Is it always on Wednesdays?
Yeah, it's always Wednesdays. Well, except last week we did Thursday because somebody had a conflict. But usually, and then also it just changed. So it used to be 7 to like 8:30 or 9. Right. Now it's 5 my time, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m.
So, I was wondering why. Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
You're encroaching in on my time.
Yep. That's the plan.
Okay.
Hey, look, right. You send me your schedule. We'll work something out.
All right.
We'll see what we can do. Also, you.
I might as well just come on Core.
Hey, there's always room. There's always money in the banana stand. Okay, check this part out. You said that Potato is a game you're also going to maybe give some time to.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell is Potato?
Patata.
Yeah, sorry. I thought it was Potato.
It's Patata. There's a T-A-T-A. Ta-ta,
oh, I got ta-ta. A code for this today. Is this any good?
You did. Yeah. And at first, I was like, I looked at it when I got the code, and I was like, oh, I don't know. It looks a little bit juvenile. I mean, it looks like something in a, you know, like an 8-year-old would play. But you know me, I'm like, I'm going to fire it up. Potato, what could it be? Potato, Patata. I played it. And in the beginning, I'm like, yeah, just what I thought it would be. It's a very simple platformer, kind of, you know, quest-based, got to do what mom says. 20 minutes in, I am like, why am I playing one of the most brutal?
So it's a
just
hard,
brutal
just
platformers.
A hard platformer. Okay.
It is. It's weird because you got this really cutesy story and it's really cute. And then you get to certain points and you're like, You know how when you jump between two platforms, you're like, okay, that wasn't too hard. There was a little bit of little room for error.
Yeah.
But it wasn't too far in before I was like realizing that I had to hit stuff just right.
Yeah.
I mean, and if not, I was penalized a lot.
Yeah.
Like you're going way back, buddy. And I'm like, hey, this isn't that casual platformer I thought it was, all cutesy and pootsy. Nope. This thing is hardcore on this side of the match.
Yeah.
But I've enjoyed so far what I've played.
All right. I haven't installed it yet, but I plan to. I just got that code, so.
Right here. You think this is easy. You're like, oh, no problem. It's just like a little orbity thing. I got that. Show me this first little flower here. Yeah. And then, the flower is going to close in like 0.1 second.
Oh, yeah.
And
look at all of this.
Yeah.
Oof. Oof. Man, these balls.
Yeah.
Okay.
Balls everywhere. I mean, it gets pretty brutal. It's not Meat Boy brutal, but, you know, it's pretty rough.
Yeah.
More than I thought was coming from Potata.
Yeah. Is it about some potatoes? Because these look like potatoes that she's trying to fight.
Right. She's, well, okay, let's put it this way. when I went out of the house, it started off all like, you know, like any Pokemon story or anything. You know, hear your little Pokemon story. It's like, oh, your character's about to go on a trip. Cool. So just, you know, do a couple little mom quests for mom, you know. And you're like, okay, cool. So that's what you think you're going to do. I ain't seen mom since I started. I'm in some kind of other world at this point. Mom wanted me to go out and get some flowers because somebody was dying or something. Anyway, it got kind of heated and ready to go. Huh. And I got out there and I was like, how do I get back? When am I going to find this? Why am I on an epic quest right now? I started off as, you know, I thought I was just going to run outside, grab a flower, come back in, and then mom would say, well, we're going to brew this, but we need some pepper. Mm-hmm. I go get some pepper. Mm-hmm. No, it's like, I ain't seen mom. I ain't seen mom in days.
Yeah, mom leaves. That's the problem.
Mom leaves.
Yeah, mom gets the H
out. But Tata, it's a little interesting little game. Like I said, it's a lot deeper. Don't let that silly looking little look fool you. I kind of like
the look. It looks nice. It's colorful and, you know, looks like paper art or something.
It
looks cool.
It does.
All right. Now this.
It's a me, Mario.
Time to play Guess Our Game. Guess My Game. We're going to play a little sound file for each other, and then we try to guess what game it might be. And I can tell by looking at the waveform of Brian that this is probably older because it matches mine, which is also older. So
because it's all like...
it's a little crummy looking. But I could be wrong, but I'm going to play mine. You'll see if you can figure this out. Here goes, Brian. Check it out. Arcade for the hint.
Yeah. Is this Burger Time?
Nope. Same era ish.
Yeah, feels very Burger Time.
A little newer than Burger Time.
It doesn't sound like a bartender or nothing like that, like tapper or nothing, right?
Nope. Although I could see it does sound kind of bear tappy.
Right.
Do you give up?
No, I'm not giving up.
All right.
Give me some more.
There's more.
I know this song. This song's going to fill in for me. It's a remake of an old song.
I'll give you a hint. One other hint.
All right, give me a hint. Give me a hint.
Scott Kurtz did a comic version of this.
Oh, my God.
As a promotion for the company who made the game. And that was more recently. So this is an ancient game in the arcades. But here, you know, in the last, I don't know, it was probably 10 years ago, but he did a thing. So do you know? You got it? You have it?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
Mappy. Mappy is the answer. Mappy.
Mappy.
Mappy. He's a little Mappy dude. Mappy.
Here's some. I could see it now.
Yeah, now you know. Here's the description. Mappy's an arcade game by Namco. Speaking of Namco, first introduced in 1983. It was distributed to the U.S. by Bally/Midway. Whoa, that was weird. Did you hear that? What was that?
What was it?
I heard a meh, meh, some kind of weird noise. Sounded like meh, this. Meh. It sounded like this a little.
Command of the Enterprise.
A little bit like that. But I didn't hit that. Anyway, it says it's a side-scrolling platform game that features mouse protagonist and cat antagonist. Mappy runs on Super Namco Pac-Man hardware, modified to support horizontal scrolling. The name Mappy is likely derived from Mappo, which is a Japanese slightly pejorative slang term for policeman, like us saying cop or whatever.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah. It was not.
I'm glad they managed to work that in there.
It wasn't my favorite game ever, but I enjoyed Mappy, and I always thought the music was rad, so that's why I chose it today. All right, Brian, I'm going to play yours now. Ready? Aim.
Ready.
Fire. I was right about the 8-bit
yes, it
sound.
Is.
Oh, yeah. Plus 1993.
93?
Platform.
What was it on?
Was Game Boy Color.
Color. Is this a Zelda game?
It's the fourth installment in the Legend of Zelda series.
Oh, then it's Legend of Zelda. It's the Link's Awakening for the
That's
thing.
That's right, yeah. Oh, you see it, yeah. I got you primed for it.
Wow.
What a big difference, though, right?
Wow, what a change the new stuff is. It does sound a little Paperboy-like, Luke.
Yeah.
I'm with you there, buddy. Well done. Good call. Oh, I would have had it by now because that last thing at the end was...
Oh, yeah. That's why I leave those in there. I try to time my clips to 1 minute.
Yeah.
And I try to time when I hear something that I'm like, oh, that would nail it. And I try to put that near the end of the 1 minute. So I hear the cool thing, and then I try to track back about 45 seconds.
I think you were successful in your endeavor. Well done.
I did good.
Yeah, you did. That music means it's time for an email from one of our listeners. His name is Rob, and he wrote in to boopshow@gmail.com. He says, hey, guys, what if I told you that you could live out your fantasies of being a blue-collar welder man in space? Well, you can. Oh. He says, yes. Hard Space Shipbreaker is an amazingly satisfying game. You're hired to chop shop, decommission spaceships. You fly around a hangar in a spacesuit and cut your way into the holes of the ship, then detach all the little weak points, which causes the hull panels to drift off, which you then place a space lasso onto and into a big refinery of things. Just watch the video. And he put a video
that sounds awesome.
Hope you like it, and thanks for the show. All right, so I already knew about this. It's $19.99 on Steam. It's on Early Access. I am sorely tempted to pick it up because it seems like my jam. Like completely interested in this, and I think I'm going to get it. When I'll get it, I don't know. Maybe I'll play it for before next week. Maybe that's what I'll do. But I love this idea. I want to go take my laser cutter and pull out some engines and sell them for big money and then go do another ship and then pay off my loans.
Look at that. He's ship wrangling.
Yeah. Shipbreaker, yo. Shipbreaker. I really do want to play this, I think.
Hard Space. In case, see, that title says it. That title says, look, Shipbreaker, Hard Space. Look. This is going to be one of those hard games.
My name in high school was, my nickname was Hard Space. They used to call me
Hard Space.
Yeah. I was they were like the Rock and I was the Hard Space.
Right.
But Hard Space. Anyway,
was long pause.
It seems great. And boy, you got to be careful. I saw some video where somebody accidentally welded or shot their welder gun thing at a tanker thing that just was full of fuel and it just blew up everything.
No.
Yeah, so you got to be careful with these things. But it seems like my jam.
It's amazing.
There's also there's like hull breaches if you're not careful.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, all kinds of problems.
Is this VR?
No, it's just FPS or first person view.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know, maybe VR support's planned. I have no idea.
Right.
That could be interesting.
Might as well.
Yeah, you could. I would assume you could. But anyway, it's totally my jam. Why am I not playing this now? I'm an idiot. I'm going to play this.
Why are we still talking?
Yeah, F this. I'm playing this game. I'm going to buy it. I'm playing it this week. That's what's happening. All right. Thanks, Rob, for that recommendation. I already had my eye on it. Now you push me over the edge. Well done. Brian, that's it. Boopshow@gmail.com is that email address. Send your messages in. For everything else, go to Go to frogpants.com/BOOP. That's the website. Gosh dang it. You'd swear I'd never done this show before. But anyway, that's where you'll find everything, including all our old episodes and ways to contact us and everything else. It's all right there. Frogpants.com/boop. Find us on Twitter @boopshow. Boop. Brian's @TheBrianDunaway. I'm @ScottJohnson. Brian, before we leave, any final last words before we go?
Yes, you fools. If you're not tuning in Thursday night when Core is not happening, you're missing out on some of the best Zelda gameplay that I can muster. I'll be doing it again this Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening. If you want to tune in and see more gameplay and more tomfoolery.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Hey, you know what we do sometimes? Oh. We give away Steam game codes.
Well, that's true. We do that sometimes. So be there for that.
Yeah.
That's Brian. What is it? The Brian Dunaway on what is it?
Oh, no. It's Brian Dunaway.
Oh, you got your whole full name in there.
Twitch.tv/ Brian Dunaway.
That's fantastic. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thank you all for being here. We'll be back at it next week with another episode of this here show. We'll see you then. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this @frogpants.com.
I don't like Steam. I love Steam.